All right, man, welcome to Crow 777 Radio. This is hour one of episode 678. Jason Lingren is with me, and Terry and Caroline Mansfield, who were here with us last time talking about Masterpiece, are back. And what we are about to talk about is beyond mind-blowing. I was warned nearly half a decade ago that this was going to happen. And I'm not going to say the name, but anyone who follows here can probably deduce who told me this. We're going to start talking about MAC addresses in the human body and another thing that we're going to learn about called return response signal. And we'll define that better. But to kind of put a fence around it, 100% of people tested have shown a return response signal. And this is not normal. And presumably 30 years ago, this would not have been the case at any level. As for the MAC address, for those people who don't know what a MAC address is, it's defined in this way. It basically makes you a unique identifier in a network. Here's what a MAC address is. A MAC address is a unique identifier assigned to a network interface or communication within a network segment. It helps devices on a network identify and communicate with each other. That's really all you need to know. Here's some numbers on that. 30 people tested. 26 had a MAC address. Another case, 30 people tested, 30 people found to be emitting a MAC address. This is getting crazy, and it's, of course, all related to our nanotech and polluted environment and, of course, the shot. And it gets pretty deep and pretty chilling when you get into the conversation and you start to hear about things like shedding, which I was warned again, I don't know, during the pandemic, I was warned not to go around people who'd had the jab because there've been shedding. And if people who had the jab have sex, the fluids that come out of you will carry that nanotech, supposedly, I guess I should say. Anyhow, Jason, welcome aboard on a very gloomy topic.
Very gloomy indeed. And it's not just the people who took the shot that are in danger. Apparently, it's pretty much all of us, isn't it?
Well, as we queued up before the mic was made hot and we started recording, I instantly started flashing back to a movie that I've brought up a couple times called I Think We're Alone Now with Peter Dinklage. Of course, this is words derived from a song that went big in the 80s, and that 80s song was a redo of those same words, I Think We're Alone Now, from a further back song. The point is, it was one of those times when I saw the title, something hit me in the core, I watched the film, and I knew with dread that there was a terrible relationship here in some way. All these years later, it's starting to draw a very dark image. But there's no doubt in my mind that a big component of this is a spiritual attack. When we begin to talk about this with the people who know more than I do by a long shot, you're going to hear that they're detecting these things near the crown of the head, near the third eye, areas like this around the heart. This is a spiritual attack on some level. But we're basically going to talk more about the science here. Anyhow, welcome, Caroline, and welcome, Terry.
Thank you, Crow. Appreciate coming back.
That's Terry, and Caroline, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be back on again.
So, Caroline, could you quickly just give us a rundown of who you are, what you're involved with?
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm a naturopath and a live blood analyst of the last 25 years, but my work has morphed into running studies for companies. Moreover, a lot of my work has been working with human consciousness support, proving out the efficacy of a product called Masterpiece in removing environmental toxins, heavy metals, and other nefarious toxins from the human body.
So, Terry, can you tell us who you are and what you're about, please?
Yeah. So, I go by Nikki in the Masterpiece company. My given name is actually Terry Lynn. I don't use that anymore. Actually, when I went through the KL process, I changed my name. So Nikita is actually my new legal name. I know it's a real different thing, but at anyway, it was a spiritual process for me, that whole process. But as far as my background goes, I have a degree in sign language interpreting. So I have worked in the space of working with deaf folks for about 25 years. I consider that a communication access background, and I still do that from time to time. What I'm doing now really started, about 20 years ago. I eventually, in about 2015, became certified with the psychology, the Institute for the Psychology of Eating, I should say, with Mark David. So I'm a certified mind-body nutrition coach. I consider my niche to be holistic detoxification, and I have at least in the past, not so much anymore because I've been really busy with Masterpiece, but work with private clients. I've been in that space and sphere of holistic health for a very long time. I was ill pretty significantly 3 times in my life, and that really spurred on more and more research. And I've always been very interested and dialed into natural health and realized very early on that the allopathic way was not the way, and they're way out of their lane. So what I bring to the table with Masterpiece when I met Matthew Hazen was my two hats with communication access and also the holistic health coaching. And I am considered like the resident health coach for the Masterpiece team at this time.
Okay, we're going to jump in and I'm going to put a update about Masterpiece. And I want to make it perfectly clear. When we cover things like this, which someone can say is a product, which is absolutely right, the reason we're doing it is because there's a need. It's like when I have Clive on. When I have Clive on after the fact, so many people call and say, you know what? I got the magnesium. My arthritis is feeling so much better. The things we cover have a proven need. And what we're about to talk about is chilling. So let's do a quick update on Masterpiece. And of course, let's talk a little bit about the MAC address while we're doing it. Who wants to pick up? Caroline, Terry?
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, the reason I think we're on here today is to talk about the new study that we did called the Human Signal Study, using advanced detection methods, exploring what would otherwise remain unseen. This study was designed to explore whether there are measurable signal responses relating to semiconductor material in the human body, classed potentially as nodes or biosensors, being found at specific focal points around the human body. And how does this differ from the MAC address study that we did last year? Well, the two studies looked at completely different signal types. We went from detecting outward signals to measuring signal responses. So the MAC address study detected Bluetooth signals coming from human bodies. These are typically associated, as you said, with devices such as phones and wearables and smart technology, location tracking as well, and the Internet of Things devices, you know, in your smart home. But our study proved out that people were emitting these MAC addresses. And the study also proved out that by taking specific intervention, which was Masterpiece, that these MAC addresses were disabled. So this led us on to another study where we're actually measuring how the body responds when a signal is applied to the body. And again, it's using specialist equipment to detect a return response known as a second harmonic signal. And this type of response is typically associated with electronic or semiconductor type materials.
All right. So to recap, the last time around, and I confused it as I did the intro in, we're going to be talking about a return response signal, which is the new study, the MAC address, which we did address last time. We talked a bit about this. When you take Masterpiece and you've been measured with an emitted signal, can you just explain what the common result of that is?
Right. So we were testing people at baseline, and yes, they were testing positive for MAC address. So we're taking this particular product at 5 drops twice a day. And after 11 weeks of taking the product, on our third testing, when they came back, they no longer emitted a MAC address. And this study was done, we've covered this before, I believe, on a show, right, in the middle of a technology-free environment where test subjects would have to cross fields and woods to get to our base station, where we had professional-grade equipment testing people for these MAC addresses coming off the human bodies.
Okay, so the thing we talked about before we started recording, though, is even though the level's been dropped, it appears like we're constantly picking up whatever's causing this, right? Every day we're somehow eating it, drinking it, breathing it, touching it, however it is. So like it's ongoing is what I'm getting at. If you took the Masterpiece and lowered your number over time, it's probably just going to build back, isn't it?
Well, yes. What we've discovered in our studies is that when people continue to take the product, their levels remain at sort of low and tolerable ranges. They don't go jumping back up to the high and very high ranges. But to get somebody down now to zero, I think would be virtually impossible with all these toxins in our environment coming from the chemtrails. You know, it's in our water, it's in our food, it's in pharmaceuticals, it's just in everything in our daily life. And it's very difficult to get away from these toxins, no matter what they are, whether they are, as we say, environmental toxins, environmental chemicals, pesticides, herbicides, or we're talking about nanotechnology even.
So in the last conversation, when we talked about the MAC address, we covered this. Masterpiece is a way to deal with it, but this is ongoing. We're going to start focusing on what's called the return response signal. The out-of-the-book definition for that is return response signal refers to the signal that is reflected back towards the source due to a discontinuity or impedance mismatch in a transmission line. And I know that doesn't seem to fit, but that's the out of the box. Basically, it's, in the way we're talking about it, a human body reflecting back a signal. Now, Jason, as we get into the return response signal, do you want to bring anything up before we jump into this?
The one thing I would like to know that we don't know yet is what frequency range these things are in. I think that's going to be incredibly interesting to find out.
Right. I was a radio operator, and as I was trying to reason it out, I was thinking, well, it must be one tiny wavelength, because if the thing that's reflecting it was smaller than the wavelength, it wouldn't reflect back, would it? But that's how we got into the conversation about the nanotech building itself inside you. But Caroline, can you give a better response or a better definition of what return response signal is as it relates to the human body? Because what I just said is about a transmission line.
Yeah, sure. Well, I think we have to sort of backtrack as to how we ended up with this testing. But the testing equipment, which I'm going to go on to discuss with you, is called a nonlinear junction detector. And what that does is it gives off a radio frequency, and it's looking for a return response in the second harmonic, which is semiconductor material, is what it's picking up on. This type of equipment is used by counter-surveillance operators who go into a room to see whether a room's being bugged, basically. And that's what that equipment is usually used for. But we were contacted by Jesse Beltran after we completed the MAC address study. And this is how this study came about. He's a specialist in signal detection with over 15 years' experience. And his work included investigating environments where individuals were reporting neurological and physiological symptoms, often referred to as anomalous health incidents, better known as recently or more recently, Havana syndrome. And he felt that the MAC address detection alone didn't represent the full picture of what's going on in the world right now. So this led to a collaboration to explore signal responses using professional grade detection equipment. So to understand why the study was necessary, it's important to understand Jesse's background. He's a specialist in signal detection, trained in technical surveillance countermeasures, TSCM, with over 15 years' experience in field investigations. And as I said, his work has included testing individuals with unusual neurological and physiological symptoms. Symptoms that people would get who are testing positive with his equipment are things, very significant symptoms, such as strange sounds being transmitted to their heads, followed by short-term, long-term memory fog, severe head pain, vomiting, vertigo, or more disturbingly, what's called electric shocks to the body, mainly through the torso, which has been defined by the US government as currently as buffeting. It's also been called electronic tasering. So in 2016 in Havana, Cuba, diplomats were complaining of these exact same symptoms. And Jesse had been carrying out this type of testing since 2010 on civilians and not just government officials. So Jesse has a background as a firefighter and a paramedic. He's a past president of an organization called the International Center Against the Abuse of Covert Technologies. And he's currently the president of an organization called MindNexusLive.com, where he helps people who are suffering with these anomalous health incidents. So this basically is where the study was born. In Jesse's earlier work, using radio frequency detectors and nonlinear junction detectors, these types of signal responses were primarily observed in individuals who were reporting symptoms. Quite often, these people would be found through scans to have biochips or biological sensors that had been implanted in them. And these are non-consensual chips. But however, more recently, since 2021, he began to observe signal responses in individuals who are not reporting any symptoms. And that observation shift, or that observed shift from symptomatic cases to a broader population, was what prompted the need for a structured study.
So, I mean, does that imply that either people are getting snatched, knocked out, implanted, and put back without their knowing it? Or does that imply that there's nanotech that's building itself inside the body? How do these things get in?
So I think initially, in the early days, these people that had been implanted were more government officials, diplomats, or operatives. But what Jesse discovered through association with a doctor who was working in this field back in 2010 was that members of the general public were also experiencing similar symptoms. And what he found was there was a very well-known case of a lady who was having these symptoms. And when she went to her doctor, she was basically diagnosed with schizophrenia and put on medications. And when she seeked out the help from Jesse, Jesse was able to detect these frequencies coming from specific points in her body. And through his connections, she had scans and they found that she actually had these implants in her. Now, she's not, she's just a normal member of the public. And these implants, I believed, were in her teeth. I think she'd been implanted through the dentist. So what I gather or understand is that there are people who work for the government who were paid potentially to put these chips inside people. Now, there's a certain subset of people within the population, Jesse says. They were always around the age when they're 40s, either divorced, single, or widowed women and men. And then the subsets would go from there down to African American to Asian and Hispanic. So, you know, to a lesser degree. But he always found that the same people who were coming from the general population fitted into these subsets of people. So that was just an observation. I don't know what that means. But since 2021, as I said, he's been detecting these signals coming off people in the general public who aren't symptomatic. And if we're going to sort of talk about this further right now, what he's saying is that those who are not symptomatic have not been yet turned on. But those who are symptomatic are turned on. And he deals with thousands of people around the world who are symptomatic. And what he's saying, his hypothesis is that this is a new technology that was introduced around the time of COVID, where it's not implanted chips anymore. He says that that's an easy one because at least you could look to have them removed. He says, but instead this is self-assembling operating system gravitating to the areas of the nerve ganglia, which are high density nerve areas, and giving off symptoms from these specific focal points around the body. Sorry, it's giving off signals.
So gathering or constructing in a certain area.
Yes, exactly.
That implies that they're either programmed or steered, doesn't it?
I think they can be programmed, yeah. And that has been proven. There are a lot of patents out there. And Dr. Ido Beauchelet, I believe his name is, where he's giving a TED talk, he holds up a syringe and he says that there's a billion nanobots at the tip of that syringe that can be programmed to go anywhere in the body. And he teaches his students how to move them around the body using, what do you call it, like a console for a computer game.
Game controller.
Yeah, that's it.
Is it being done through magnetism?
I don't know. I don't know how it's being done, through frequencies, I believe.
The current thinking is that if you scanned 100 people, you would get a signal from 100 people.
At the moment, everyone who's scanning is coming up positive. Before 2020, he said it would be very unusual for someone to come up positive.
Well, the other thing that we mentioned was what I was told again was true of the jab, is that people who took it shed that technology onto others that are around them. What's your view on that?
I believe that is very real, the shedding, and that, you know, we saw that as microscopists in the early stages of 2020, where we saw initially that people who had taken the shot were having a lot of coagulation in their blood, a lot of clotting factors showing up in their blood. And then we began to see the same phenomenon in people who hadn't taken the shot. which was odd. And then we began to see strange, potentially what looked like nanotech in the blood of individuals, yet to be defined, but strange anomalies were showing up in the blood of those who'd taken the shot. And then eventually those same anomalies were showing up in those who hadn't taken the shot.
The other thing I was warned about was that if the shedding was real, if you had sex, it would be in the body fluids, it would be in the saliva, potentially in the blood. Any of these things might be a way to transmit it. Do you think that's correct?
I believe that very much so. I've been in touch with a nanochemist in Norway, and he's always documenting this. And he actually looks at rain. He's been documenting the rain for many, many years. And he's saying that this nanotechnology is in the rainwater as well.
What about countries? Like, how many different countries do they think this is a problem in? Or is it just about everywhere now?
I believe it's all the main built-up countries, you know, the Western world countries, all around the world. But if this nanotechnology is in the chemtrails, then, I mean, that's just going to be affecting everywhere. Yeah.
The water, the animals, everywhere, everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it occurs to me, if you were one of the evil people doing this and having planned this, you wouldn't be able to live in the environment we live in, or you would be in the same boat unless there's some way to deactivate it or keep yourself immune. It almost implies that they're not mixing with us, doesn't it? I know that's speculation, I should say.
It's an interesting question, whether they have solutions, or I've read somewhere that potentially they are a different type of blood type, so they're not affected by it. I really don't know. But I believe the aim is to get the population down with this technology eventually, which is advancing for this Agenda 2030. And what they want to do is lock us all into these smart cities and have us corralled into areas where we can't freely catch flights and move around the Earth.
Well, the elite haven't exactly been quiet about wanting to drastically reduce the population.
Yeah, it was on the Georgia Guidestones. It's 500 million, I believe.
Yep.
That was the stated thing. And then they put movies out any number of ways. But the one that hit me in the core of my being was a little known movie with Peter Dinklage called I Think We're Alone Now. And he woke up on, I want to say it was a Tuesday, I don't remember. And he, of course, has dwarfism. And everyone in his town was dead. He thought he was the last person on Earth. But here's the thing. Never during the course of that movie do they explain what happened. Everyone just one day dropped. He does end up finding other people who are in Las Vegas or Palm Springs. I think it's Palm Springs, maybe. And they're doing all these horrible medical things to the people who did survive. It's really quite a world at this point. You know, everyone knows the movie Obama took part in, which is a similar kind of dread. You're left with a dread and a fear porn. But to pull it back around, has the idea of the return response signal been under your microscope, to use a phrase, long enough for you to have any idea about how Masterpiece is affecting that?
Yeah, definitely. So we ran a study. So let's just quickly go over what this technology, you know, what technology was used in the study. So the nonlinear junction device is a professional grade technical surveillance countermeasure instrument typically operated by trained and specialized investigators. And the device sends out the radio signal and then it listens for a specific type of return response known as a distinct second harmonic dominant nonlinear junction signal.
Sorry to interrupt, but you said distinct. So does that mean like a network node? It's a unique identifier for that individual?
It is. No, unique for that signal, not for the individual.
Okay.
Yeah. So this type of response is typically associated with electronic semiconductor type material consistent with synthetic silicon-based electronic circuitry emissions. So we were measuring response, not emissions as such. Okay, so it's not detecting a signal being sent out. It's measuring how something responds when a signal is applied. So Jesse came over from America to obviously be the qualified expert doing the testing for us. And we had 22 participants and the study design was paced over 63 days. And the study was conducted in St. Albans in Hertfordshire, UK. All testing was carried out by the same operator, being Jesse, at both baseline and follow-up under controlled conditions with no external electronics or interference. Participants were drawn from the general public with a mixture of ages between 20s up to the 70s and a mixture of genders. We had 10 males and 12 females. And there's also a mixture of COVID-vaccinated and non-vaccinated participants. But importantly, the same testing environment was used throughout, and the individuals with implanted electronic medical devices were excluded to ensure accurate readings because that would have interfered with the NLJD device. And also, the study was independently filmed by Edward Zoll from the Died Suddenly filmmaker. I don't know if you know him.
I don't.
He wanted to come out and independently, he'd heard about the study, so he wanted to come out and independently film it. So everything has been documented on film at the same time. So we had controlled conditions and consistent testing. The same protocol was followed at both times to ensure consistency. So as I said, what we were measuring on the body was active signal spots across the body and the intensity of the signal at each location. So measurements were taken using a consistent scanning protocol to ensure the same areas were assessed in each participant. And the detector was systematically passed over the body or the full body of each participant. And each signal spot and its intensity were recorded, allowing us to analyze both the data individually and across the group as a baseline and follow-up. So this gave us a positional map and an intensity profile of the signals. Participants followed a consistent intervention over the 63 days, taking Masterpiece at 15 drops twice daily. So this dosage was higher. So I'm not suggesting, if anyone's familiar with the product, to start taking Masterpiece at 15 drops twice a day, because it is quite a powerful detox product. The standard dose is actually 4 drops twice a day now. But for the study dosage, that's what we asked participants to take. So we're measuring the number of active signal points and the signal strength at each signal point or signal spot. And at baseline, every participant showed consistent and structured signal pattern across the body. On average, each person had around 21 active signal spots. I was quite shocked by that, with some individuals showing as many as 25 active signal spots. The device also assigns a numerical score to the strength of the signal. So the higher number simply indicates a stronger signal response. Across the group, those scores were consistently elevated with all the test subjects, with averages around 1,300, with some individuals reaching over 1,700. So that's adding up all the signal spots at each point and giving a score. And then we added up everyone's signal spots in the group and we got the mean average.
Do you know what would be causing some people to have a higher range than others?
It was interesting. Some people may have like 100% probability for silicon, maybe in front of their third eye and on the head. Everyone had very high levels of probability for silicon around their head and at different points in the body. But it was difficult to say why one area would maybe have 100%, maybe another area would have, say, 60%. We mapped it all out in color coordination charts. So you can see that at baseline, when we're looking at the signal intensity on the charts, there was a wash of orange and red, which depicted the high signals, the high number of signals. And at baseline, when everyone came back, which I'll come on to tell you the results, there was a wash of sort of yellow and green. So you could see how the signal intensity had reduced. And also the number of signal spots reduced significantly as well on the study.
Doesn't that imply that this is, in fact, self-constructing nanotech? Just if I think about what you just said, does that ring true for you?
I believe so. I believe if you're taking out certain components of this self-assembling nanotechnology, then it's going to be disrupting that signal or whatever it's supposed to be doing. And we found that also in the MAC address, they're saying by removing, we've already proven in previous studies that when you remove the graphene oxide, you remove graphene oxide, which is like an antenna, what acts as an antenna apparently in the self-assembling nanotechnology. So we've already proven that it can remove graphene oxide. And now potentially this other component, which would be the synthetic silicon.
Well, I don't want to interrupt so you can get to the results, but I do want to bring up, have you guys considered that there's any relationship between someone emanating both a MAC address and a return signal response? But we can set that aside for a second because you were headed for results.
Yeah. So we haven't done a study where we're measuring both at the same time. And actually, when we had the test subjects come back, the ones that were on the MAC address study, before they came back to be tested on this new study, they were still not testing positive for a MAC address, the ones that continued to take the product. Yeah, but they were testing positive for this return response signal. So Jesse was right when he contacted us to tell us this isn't the full picture. I believe the MAC address acts as some kind of like a beacon, like to show where you are in the world, potentially.
And uniquely identify you.
Yeah, yeah. But I believe that this technology that we're testing, you know, we found or discovered with Jesse, behaves in a totally different way.
I was just thinking, would there be a reason for them to want both in? When I asked you earlier if the return response signal was unique to the individual, you said no to the harmonic. And what I started thinking was, if you added that to a MAC address, the MAC address gives you the unique identifier in a network.
That's a very logical thought, actually, and it could well do. But those test subjects who continue to take the product weren't emitting a MAC address any further. So it'd be nice to think that it is disabling this technology on different levels as well.
Well, you did a controlled study. And just to reiterate for everyone listening, this is why we cover products like this. What was basically just said is they did a test. They found a human being emitting a MAC address of all things. And human beings aren't supposed to be like network nodes. But there it is. They took the masterpiece as it was suggested. They came back and it had mostly eliminated that over time. They came back to do this study. And if I heard you correctly, the MAC address was still suppressed.
It was. It was still disabled.
Disabled. That's better than suppressed. So, yeah. So that's a big deal to be able to know that you might have a MAC address and have a way to try to address it.
Yeah. Well, I think the other important point to mention is the spatial distribution of the signal spots. As I said, one of the key findings was that the signal locations were not random. You know, they appeared consistent and repeatable patterns across the body. So we saw signals occurring in specific regions, including the head, the chest, the abdomen, the limbs. And importantly, similar patterns were observed across all the participants. So this wasn't scattered or incidental. It was definitely a structured. Well, it was structured, basically.
I think there's a whole conversation that could be had, not in this layout that we're doing here, that there's a spiritual component to this. When you start talking about grouping around the third eye and the crown of the head and the heart, those are going to map out for people who meditate when they think about chakras, among other things.
Yeah, definitely. Well, there's another aspect to the testing we did. We did actually test people for heart rate variability, which I'm going to come and give you the findings of that towards the end as well, because we found that people had improvements in coherence in their autonomic nervous system. And I believe that by removing this technology, I think people are able to become clearer in the head. They do. They have less brain fog. And I think they're able to connect in to our true, what do we call it, consciousness, which I think is blocked by all this technology. And this is why people rely on outside sources to tell them what to do. And they're sitting in fear. But when we can move from the fight or flight and move to the parasympathetic, then we can think more clearly and connect in with ourselves and make better decisions. So I feel this whole technology and the whole fear of all the newsreels, it gets people just that they don't connect in with themselves anymore.
It's like a breath of fresh air to hear a scientist say that. I've put forward on this show that the entire reason we got a digital world is so they could suppress the spiritual potential of a human being and the conscious potential of a human being. And just to go off track for a second here and pull right back, there is an era shift going on. And in that offing, we have the ability to leave behind, actually to use Obama's words, leave the world behind, these low vibrational systems that we've known, our parents have known, our grandparents have known, and break away to something much closer to what we were supposed to have been before we were hijacked. But to pull it back around, were you going for results or did you have something more to add?
Yeah, so let's head to the results now. So after 63 days, we observed a clear and measurable reduction across the entire group. The number of active signal spots reduced by 67%, dropping from 21 down to 7 per participant. The lowest number was 3. Somebody dropped from 25 down to 3 signal spots on their body. The signal intensity score also reduced significantly, with a 78% reduction from an average of 1,300 down to 292. So Jesse was just absolutely dumbfounded when everybody came back and everybody had reduced. And when we were sitting there in the room and everybody was coming back, the non-linear junction detector is quite a noisy little machine. And at baseline, everybody was buzzing. You know, it's like a very noisy couple of days or 3 days of testing. But when everyone came back, it was much quieter in the room because it just wasn't going off as often. In some cases, the reductions were even more pronounced. One individual showed a decrease, or two individuals showed a decrease of 92% in signal intensity.
Same gender, those last two?
The two were female, actually. Yes, they were both female. Mm. Yeah. So not only were these signals consistent at baseline, they were clearly changeable over time. So we know that the intervention, which was Masterpiece in this particular study, did make a significant difference to these signals in humans, and they really just shouldn't be in the human body.
Welcome to the Internet of Things. You are the thing on the internet now. It's not just the coffee maker. But to reiterate what you just said, if I heard you properly, the return response signal, which is what the new study was covering, was reduced by 67% on average. But we've already covered that Masterpiece, taking Masterpiece over time, as suggested, disables MAC addresses. That's a big deal. And that's the reason to cover things like this.
Yeah, well, it's actually the signal intensity reduced by 78%. And it actually would have been a lot higher, the average. But one of the test subjects decided to take a COVID shot.
Oh.
Yeah, during the study. So as I said, we were getting people who had the shot. And she pulled the mean average up because her levels, they still went down, but they didn't go down as significantly as everybody else's, which was quite interesting. So I think we would have probably hit the 80% mark, which is roughly what we do find in all the previous studies with Masterpiece. Ongoing remediation of toxins is always around about the 80% mark, it would now seem. And now it's also including the synthetic silicon-based electronic circuitry emissions. So, yeah, it showed again to be really good at removing things that shouldn't be in the body.
Did you guys discuss with her the consequences of her taking that shot?
Oh, yeah. When she came back, it's very difficult to address this with people. You know, you don't want to scare them. But we did tell her that her results were not as good as everybody else's because she had taken the shot. So she could leave with that how she wants.
She may have been benefited immensely, but nobody's going to know. I mean, what might have been the helping result of been taking Masterpiece as directed, as you're purposely pouring the nanotech in?
Yes, exactly. So her scores would have been very different had she never been taking Masterpiece. I'm pretty sure of that. And who knows what that would have led on to. But yeah, the results were just outstanding. And as I said, Jesse had never seen remediation from anywhere in the body. So when someone has always lit up with an active signal spot somewhere in their body, he's never seen it disappear. This is the first time he's seen it disappear. And that is the reason why he's now fully behind suggesting this product to people who are suffering from Havana syndrome. But it's not just about that, because we've discovered, as you know, people are testing positive without symptoms. And he's very concerned about what this means exactly.
Well, I'm going to reduce my gas money usage and stock up on Masterpiece again. This is an amazing thing. When I was told years and years ago by a person who's about as spiritually elevated as anyone I know, I didn't not believe it, but there's like a part of you, it's like death, right? We all know what's going to happen, but it's not happening to me right now. kind of attitude. And now that we're here, it's shocking. Basically, what we're saying here is the Internet of Things is real, and the majority of us have already been prepped, and many of us are already signaling the working components that will make that a possibility. And yet there's this thing that we're covering, which is maybe one of the first rounds to not only identify what's going on, but to push back on it. It's a big deal, but it's shocking. I don't know how else to put it.
It is shocking. And when you listen to Jesse as well, who's been in this area, working in this area since 2010, he will go into a lot more detail with you because he believes this operating system works two ways, where it can affect you, it can be used as a weapon against you, it can be used to implant memory sets, take away memories. He's done a deep dive into all of this. My job was just to run the study, basically, but obviously discussing with these amazing people who've been doing this work over the last decade or longer, I've discovered a lot of information, but I don't know everything. The study doesn't claim to explain everything, but it does show that something measurable is happening in this world. The other thing I want to say is that when you're out in nature, you know, if you take a meter with you, a meter reader, the only place that shows up green on the meter reader, which is below 10 microwatts per square meter, as I'm sure you're aware, is just under the canopy of trees with your feet on the grass. And I do believe that being out in nature, this technology has trouble reaching you. So I think people need to be spending far more time out in nature and away from technology within their homes and smart homes and devices, because I do feel that this is connecting us up in ways that we don't understand, which I'm sure will become clearer as time goes on.
I believe that our study with our participants proved that out, because those that were said to have more natural type lifestyles, meaning those that were less in front of devices, had their feet on the ground more often, just, you know, those that exercise too regularly, whether it be just manual work or on purpose doing yoga and things like that, natural more diets and living out of the city, those had less nodes and less stronger nodes. Is that true, Caroline?
Yeah, that is true. And that was a very interesting point for the study, actually, that those living a more natural lifestyle away from technology and those moving their body more, like more exercise, those who really do exercise at least 3 times a week or more, had less nodes.
Did you notice, this is an offhand question, but it's for a reason, have you noticed anything to do with nicotine, like maybe people smoking who were in your group having lower numbers?
No, we didn't ask that question.
The reason I asked it is there was an obvious push to really start to do away with cigarettes, particularly in the state that I'm in, which has always been a smoking state. They were smoking in restaurants past the year 2000 here. The point was that I noticed it, and then we covered people who said there was an active push to get people away from nicotine because there was something about it that was interfering with what they were trying to implement.
Yeah, I think it was something to do with the ACE2 receptors, or it's blocking certain poisons.
Yeah, something like that, filling a receptor that they want to use.
Yeah, exactly. And I think natural tobacco, I think anything in nature would be helpful. And I think it has been shown in studies to be helpful in relation to what's going on in the world. But I don't think the synthetic type would be the same, personally.
Yeah, I don't think synthetic anything matches what nature makes. But we're coming close to the top of the first hour, Caroline. Are there other things that we absolutely want to get in here?
No, but I do just want to go back on the fact that we did the heart rate variability testing alongside Jesse's testing, which is, as I said, measuring how balanced and synchronized the heart and nervous system are together. We use professional grade equipment called the HeartMath. It's a professional system called the M-Wave Pro. And we observed improvements in coherence by 16% improvements when everyone came back at the follow-up testing. So it's a higher rate of coherence reflects a more stable and regulated, you know, state in the body. And we also saw an increase in the amount of time participants spent in that coherent state by 10%. So alongside these second harmonic signal reductions, we also saw a shift towards improved physiological balance. So I was really happy that this testing was included in this study, so we can prove out that when people have these anecdotal improvements where they say they're feeling more joy one of the test subjects said she just felt like a teenager again. She couldn't stop laughing at things. And she said she'd realized how serious she had become. They're feeling more joy. They're feeling less stress. They're feeling more energy. There's just improvements across the board psychologically. And I believe that by removing this agitation from the system, that's what it is. So people can now sort of tune into themselves a lot better. And I feel this is what's happening. People are just not connecting in with their higher self.
I am wholehearted that a strong spiritual path will push back against all these things. But Terry just showed me a map of where this was detected. Were the signals stronger near the head or the heart than other places? Was there any difference in the signals detected in the upper body from the lower body?
You know, that's a really good question. And that's something we haven't evaluated. I might just go back and start evaluating that. There's a lot of data to unpack when you do these studies, but looking at all the individual signals and adding up their intensity in different areas of the body would be another area to look at to evaluate the data. Thank you.
If I was doing that, I would have my spiritual mind open. I would be considering chakra and other energy centers. When I look at this map, it almost looks to me like it's purposefully blocking the upward surge of energy.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Very good point indeed.
Is there anything to do with marijuana usage that was positive or negative or just irrelevant?
We didn't ask that question.
You know, it would be interesting to know if there is, I am of a mind that there's a distinct reason they tried to take nicotine off the table, but I would ask those questions if I was doing it.
That is something we're asking on the questionnaires for the hair tissue mineral analysis. Interestingly, I'm going to go back and look at that data to see if there's any differences. Now, of course, HGMA, which we're going to talk about more in the second hour, is totally different testing than what we're talking about here. However, it just might show a difference.
So let me start to sum up here. The people that took Masterpiece, their active signal spots were reduced by 67%. The intensity of the total signal was reduced by 78%. We're just talking about the return signal here. The MAC address, I used the wrong word. Caroline corrected me by saying disabled. So the MAC address was disabled. My mind is putting together a network. I'm not the most technical guy, but I did have an internet tech schooling. What I envision is there's a reason for the MAC address and the return signal. The MAC address will serve as a unique identifier, might even be detectable from a longer distance, but certainly like a network node, this is unique. This is what it is, distinct from that, or this is this person and not that person. The return signal, if it is self-manipulating and constructs itself and all that, I mean, it could do things, you know, talk like voices in your head or, God forbid, like I think we're alone now, drop somebody. Lord only knows.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, Jason, can you think of anything else you'd like to bring up in hour one?
What's the next step with your studies here?
Well, we've come to a halt on the actual return signal study at the moment because Jesse has gone on to do more studies and he's working more on this in the United States. I don't think we're going to do another study in as far as Masterpiece in relation to these return signals, but our next study that we're doing is related to renal function and hepatic function whilst detoxing further environmental toxins. So that's going to be our next study.
All right. So we still have a link up on the sponsorship page to Masterpiece. Is there anything we should say about the link?
No. The link is active and people will get a true 10% discount on Masterpiece and then about a $5 off discount on any other products that we have if you either log in to your account that you have through Crow's link or you can use, I believe, Crow, you have a coupon code, which is Crow. So yeah, it's all the same as it was last time we were on.
Which is important because I think it's the only discount that exists. I'm trying to load the page, but it looks like my internet's not doing so well.
Yeah, that is the only discount that exists. We're already as low as we possibly can go. It's already baked in the price. Sorry, the discount's already baked in the price there. So the 10% is what we can do, the best we can do.
Well, I'm going to be stocking up. I know that when I find a product like the magnesium and other things that I take regularly, I bulk up just in case systems are interrupted. It will not surprise me if we get interruptions of one kind or another. I'll make one more round with everybody before we wrap up hour one. And just to be crystal clear, if you're interested in reducing your network node signals that are coming off your body, you can go to Crow 777 sponsorship page and seek to remove yourself from the Internet of Things.
That sounds like a commercial.
Yeah, it's possible.
Well, you know what? The Moderna CEO, when talking about the COVID shot, said they're installing an operating system. And that's down. Wow. So we know what's going on.
All right. My page finally loaded. I'm coming over here to look. There it is. In the top row, dead center, is a rectangular masterpiece link, which has the peace sign oriented in the correct way. That's a whole story. But if you click on that, you get basically the only discount in town, and it's significant. For my part, I'm going to be stocking up. Jason, are you still taking masterpiece?
Yes, every single day, twice a day.
Man, I was, and then I take so many things in my life. But anyhow, one more chance. Terry, anything you want to add to the end of hour one that goes out everywhere?
Nope, I think we're good.
Caroline?
No, I mean, it's been great to share the results with you on the show. Thank you.
All right. Well, there is a reason why we cover these products. It's not about a sales pitch. It's about trying to inform you that if the powers that be have their way, you're going to be one of the things on the Internet of Things. And most things on the internet are controllable in some way.
You know what? I will add something to that, Crow. You know, we are open to the idea that other things could work. It's just that nobody's done the testing. And we've done the testing. We know that Masterpiece works, at least to a great degree. So it would be great if someone else could do testing on some other protocols or their product. And let's see if there's other things that actually work. And maybe there are that we're just not aware of.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jason and I are going to seek to do an interview with your guy and get right at it. It's pretty sobering, to say the least, when you can walk into a hotel room to scan for bugs and things, and what you pick up is everyone in the room.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Anyhow, hour one is free to everybody at crow777radio.com. Members know to log in for the full 2-hour episode. Members get access to all the forums and comments under each episode. They get free access to the 2-hour film called Shoot the Moon, covering all my older telescope work, all the lunar waves that were shot by me or in that, as well as the first discovery of the so-called, and I'm saying so-called, second sun. It's got 10 awards in the world now. Membership at crow777radio.com gets exclusive access to my solar work. I no longer upload my work to third-party platforms for obvious reasons and censorship. With that, we're going to take a short break, come back for hour two, and there's a lot more to cover here. I want to wish you all a happy, healthy, and higher-minded new era, and I hope to see you all logged in as members for hour two. And seriously, you should consider getting some Masterpiece. As far as I know, it's the only game in town. If you're not interested in being a network node, there it is, man. Cheers. We'll be right back.
belief is the enemy of knowing.